The lady who knows much more about all this than I do is Champagne Jane, and I've got her on the line now. And I suppose you're looking forward to the wedding and having a few bubbles while you watch it, Jane. Is that right?
Absolutely. I think that time is always the right time for champagne. Champagne in the morning, champagne at lunch, champagne in the evening.
So how... Okay, if we took an average week for you, Jane, how much champagne would you drink?
Oh, well, if I told you, I might have to kill you. Well, put it this way, whether I'm working or not, because I like to be teach on champagne, so I do get to drink a fair amount of the bubbly stuff, I always make sure wherever I am in the world, on a Friday evening, I have at least a couple of glasses of champagne. I call it Champagne Fridays, because you may or may not be able to afford to jet off for the weekend to somewhere warm and exotic, but when you bring a glass of champagne, it's like a holiday in your glass. So, it's a great way to add sparkle to the end of the week.
Isn't it, Jane, true that Prosecco is knocking the bottom out of the champagne business, i.e. people prefer it because it's A, sweeter, but B, as you might be the first to attest, it is a lot cheaper.
It's definitely a lot less expensive, and I think they actually cater to different markets. I think champagne will always be the drink that people turn to for real special celebrations like a new baby or getting married or getting a new job. But when you want to have get more bang for your dollar, bang for your budget, then you might actually look to other wines. And Prosecco is a delicious sparkling wine. You know, it's a very easy wine to drink. But champagne historically has been associated with coronations. The first time it was mentioned in the history books was 496, when the first king of France, Clovis, King of the Franks, was baptized at France Cathedral on Christmas Day. So there's a long, long history of champagne being associated with weddings and even with coronations. For example, Louis XIV sent bottles of champagne to Charles II when he was made king on his 30th birthday back in the Middle Ages, back in the 16th century. So it's kind of a long tradition, but it's also, I think it's a very special wine as well.
I think, yes, but don't you think, I mean, just as an outsider, I scarcely drink it. I don't drink Prosecco either. But aren't there multiple forms of champagne? There's some of them are sweeter and some of them are drier. But the other thing is, they are all hugely expensive.
But if you think about it, Kelvin, when you think about a high-quality wine, like a prestige wine, because champagne is so difficult to make and it's such a complex process, it's actually a lot cheaper than good Burgundy or good Bordeaux. So I think it's a really good value for my position. And I can say that quite dispassionately because I don't sell any wine. I just love it and I love helping other people understand it better and drink better. So it doesn't matter whether you've got £20 to spend or £200 to spend or £2,000 to spend. There's something that you can find for everyone. And the style of wine that you like, well, that depends on your personal palate. You know, it's not about the brand, it's about the quality of wine in the glass.
So you're saying that in fact, There hasn't been a fall in champagne sales as Prosecco has become more popular.
No, you've got to look at the size of the vineyards. There's only 34,000 hectares under vine in Champagne, so they make about 300 million or just over 300 million bottles a year. They can't really expand that by much because there's no more land to be had. So it's not so much that.
Can I ask you something, Jane? I didn't quite understand that. No more land to be had in the Champagne area, you mean?
So Champagne is a defined region. It's been a defined region since 1927. And although the vineyards have expanded slightly, there isn't anywhere else for them to go. That's why you've got Champagne producers producing wine in South America, in places like Australia and New Zealand as well, and even here in England. So Pommery has just recently invested in Kent, and Pommery has invested in Hampshire, and Tattenham has invested in Kent. So the champagne producers take their knowledge, the magic of how they make this bottle fermented wine, and they've used it to help grow fabulous wines in other countries as well. But you can't get any more champagne. Champagne is a limited quantity. That's why, I suppose, it's a kind of question of supply and demand.
And as far as I remember, we are probably per head, we are as big a champagne drinkers as anywhere else in the world, aren't we?
Yes, England has always been, or Britain has always been, one of the biggest markets for champagne because we like the good stuff. And isn't it amazing that now we've learned how to produce really good quality wine ourselves? Because of global warming and the longer ripening season that we have here in the UK, and also because a lot of the chalk that you find going under, obviously, the White Cliffs of Dover and the old ancient COM Paris, there's chalk in Sussex, fabulous chalk in Sussex, and there's clay and in Kent, there's great chalk in Hampshire, and then there's nice clay down in Camel Valley in Cornwall. So we've got great sparkling wines happening all over the UK. It's fabulous, but we make 6.5 million bottles, so it's a drop in the ocean by comparison. I'm not quite sure how many bottles of Prosecco there are, but you might be aware that because Prosecco is also made in other countries, recently Italy changed its rules so that they changed it to the name of the grape, and now Prosecco is a denominated region as well. So that's all about, you know, brand power and business rather than about taste.
Okay, fine. Well, just give me one issue. If I wanted to buy a good bottle of champagne, and supposing I go down to, I don't know, Morrison's or Audie's or somewhere like that, what should I look for, and B, what should I pay?
Right. Well, what you should look for would depend on what style of wines that you like, whether you like drier, fresher styles. For example, Longstone is quite a crisp kind of aperitif style, or if you like a fuller bodied style, you might want to go for something like Bollinger. And obviously, if budget was no issue, you'd want to go for something like Krug. So just as we have in white and red wines, lighter and more full-bodied styles, we have the same in champagne. It's just that people tend to buy on brand because the Champenois have been really, really good at marketing. So if you grew up drinking Paul Roger, they call that, you know, the most British of champagnes. That was served at William and Kate's weddings, and it's a regular served by Queen Elizabeth at Buckingham Palace. But it just depends on the style that you like. And I have to say that some of the supermarkets actually produce some great champagnes as well, because what they're doing is they're buying grapes from some great producers and they're putting it under their own label. So, for example, Du Valeroy, which is a little grower producer in the southern region of the Côte des Blancs, and they produce some beautiful Blanc de Blanc champagnes that are sold through Sainsbury's as a known brand. So you can always save money, and you just have to be careful where you shop. But you can get a champagne on promotion. You can get a really good a cooperative-made champagne called Nicolas Fayette. That sells between £18 to £20, which is half the price of the average champagne. But Prince Harry, for example, is a big fan of Veuve Clicquot, probably to do with his connections with polo. So it's quite likely that Veuve Clicquot will be served to his guests at the wedding next week. But when you think back to William's wedding, he also used some local wine from Kent called Chapeldown, a lovely sparkling rosé. And Camel Valley from Cornwall literally was the first English sparkling wine producer to get a royal warrant just a couple of weeks ago. So quite possible that there might be some of that in the do as well.
Brilliant.
I'd like to think there'll be champagne and English sparkling wine.
Yeah, brilliant. OK, Jane, well, thank you very much indeed for that that lesson in champagne, and I'll raise a glass to you as well as to Harry and Meghan on the big day.